Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to this, the Tokyo Trauma Talks. I'm Sarah Furuya from Sarah Furuya Coaching, and today I'm hosting this short event about trauma. And I'd like to just give a quick content warning before we jump in. We are talking about trauma today, so it would be lovely if you really take care of yourself around that and really take care of yourself as you're listening today, as we'll be defining trauma and talking about it as well. So, what is the Tokyo Trauma Talks and why are we talking about trauma? And why us? So, we have here Mary, who's in Nagano in the center of Tokyo. Hi, Mary. We
Hello.
have, hi, we have Maria Paula, who's here from Argent, calling in from Argentina. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Sarah.
And we have Paula Esguerra, who's based in Tokyo. But she's sitting in Germany at the moment. So, hi, Paula.
Hi.
So, for amazing reasons, we have a Mary, a Maria Paula, and a Paula. So, it's very serendipitous. And that gives me the origin story of this, of why we're sitting around this table here. And I'll just fill you in on that because it'll give you something of the atmosphere that we have here today. Paula and I were out having lunch a couple of months ago, and I was telling her about Mary, who's just joined my team, and saying that she was studying social work and trauma at university, or human services and trauma at university. And Paula said, "Oh my God, I know this amazing woman called Maria Paula who does this Prison Compassion Project. We'll talk about that later." And so both of us being super action-oriented women who are always about the serendipity said, let's get together and have a conversation. So we just got together to have a conversation. And then it was like, why don't we record these and do something for the collective? Because we're all very community-focused people as well. And that's why we're sitting around this table today to talk about trauma. And today's episode is What Even Is Trauma and Understanding the Landscape of Trauma. But perhaps before that, I'd like to invite each of our speakers here today to just tell us a little bit about themselves. So let's start with Mary. Mary, would you like to give us a quick introduction and what's your background with trauma?
So my name is Mary, like you said, and I'm studying at university, and my minor is in trauma and resilience-based therapies. So my history with trauma is before I went to university, I was a hairstylist for almost 20 years. And so at that time, I kind of was able to hold space with people through not only like great things that happened in their life, but also traumatic things. And yeah, just kind of that's kind of pushed me. I feel like it kind of paved the way for me to start kind of studying this for my a future profession.
Thanks, Mary. Maria Paolo, why don't you go next?
Hi, so yes, I'm here based in Argentina, and I'm a trauma-informed facilitator. And I started with trauma like 4 years ago for a very personal event. And I started deepen, like in that work and with a documentary of Gabor Maté, The Wisdom of Trauma. And then it was very peculiar because I've been working in prisons for almost 10 years, over 10 years now. And I found there this organization, Compassion Prison Project, and so I decided to, to write to them and let them know like I'm so interested in just like sharing this information with the people in need, and so that's how I started my work there. And after all these years of working in trauma, it's just like I feel like we all need to, like know about this topic and information and share it with the world for us to heal in community.
Thank you, Maria. Paula.
I think that the driver of my life has been really the search for peace. I grew up in the 90s in Colombia, which was
difficult time, violent time. And the search for peace has really informed my journey. That has taken me to explorations outside in diplomacy, in academia, etc., in Buddhist studies. Right now, I've interested in the intersection of the inner life and an outward action. I place a lot of importance in peace as something that comes from the individual, spreads in the community, and eventually can permeate other areas of society. And it's been through this journey, the search for peace and what is peace and how to live a peaceful life, that I've came across a trauma. In all these conversations about privilege, the global South, patriarchy, et cetera, and these different forms of trauma as something that I call it like scars, like these scars that we all have, and some of them are conscious and some of them are unconscious. And so, in that exploration of myself and engagement with others, it's how I've come into contact with this topic.
Thank you all. So I'm a coach and facilitator here in Japan, and I also my coaching kind of touches the edge of therapy, but I don't go in there because I'm not skilled in that place. But it's really important for me to be aware of when trauma's in the room for myself and for the other people, so that I can coach in a way that's both kind of ethical and effective, and that I'm not kind of projecting my own things onto other people, and I know when those things are coming into me as well. I similarly kind of want to be in community with people and take care of us, so that we're all kind of having a more truthful and elevated experience of our lives. I'm really interested in complex trauma, actually. That's something that I work with myself and I'm working with in my own body. And I'm really interested in that kind of mind-body connection as well, so that I'm really recognizing myself in my own personal journey, the effect that my ner the effect on my nervous system of CPTSD or any other traumatic events that have happened, like literally physically traumatic events, like a head-on collision in the car, how that impacts me driving, literally, or the more subtle things where I'm coaching or I'm talking to something and then I notice my nervous system gets activated and so on. But then out in the world, the world work that Maria's doing and Paula's doing and that Mary's studying as well, it's really useful to have that in my kind of coaching lexicon, so that I can be more effective and also inform other people of what might be in the room as well. So it's really great to have you all here and to learn more about it. So first, I'd love to just do trauma defined. So just some straightforward definitions of trauma. So first, it's does anybody have a ready kind of definition of trauma? Because I've pulled some out here, but or would you like me to go ahead with some ready definitions of trauma? Okay, so
I was like, I have a ready definition because I think that's like the
go
university
ahead,
student in me.
Mary. Yes, of
Okay.
course, you're the academic in the room at the
So,
moment, or the academic in training.
at its core, trauma is not the event itself, but the lasting maladaptive responses to an overwhelming, distressing event. It's a rupture in the psyche's ability to process an experience, leaving it stuck in the nervous system.
Thank you.
I would like to add Dr. Bruce Perry, who is a psychiatrist. He says that trauma has three E's. So it's like the event, then the experience will be like the interpretation of that event, and then the effects, that impact that the event itself has on our body and our health, in our behavior. So I like those because that turns into like trauma. It's something very personal, you know, because it's all about what you, about like your interpretation about that event, you know. It's not the event, because the event could be the same for you and me, but then how you, your interpretation could be very different from mine. So for you, it could be really a traumatic event, but not for me, you know? And so I think that's very important to highlight.
Can you define those three things again for us?
So it's the event,
The event, yeah.
what happened, you know, like the fact, you know, the experience, which will be like the interpretation of that event,
Yeah.
and then the effects, the three E's.
The three E's: event, experience, and then the
Events and
effect.
effects.
That puts me in mind very simply of like, very, very simply, it's me and my husband watching an action movie together. I watch the action movie, the experience I have is really intense, and the effect is that I'm activated by that. He enjoys it. So is that kind of a, I mean, that's a very simplistic way of saying that. And I also run grief circles, and I think that different people process grief in different ways and at different speeds as well, because that's quite a traumatic event as well. Paula, did you have any kind of definition that comes from your background?
It's more like an empirical observation, but I think complements what both Mary and Maria Paula have said, and is that once this sort of memory is in us, our defense mechanisms and our need to survive create other things around it. So this the three E's, the event, the effect, and the experience become like the center of a cluster of other behaviors and other responses and beliefs, language, priorities, right? So then event, that traumatic event, starts becoming a center of something. And sometimes we know it and sometimes we don't. And that can even find a place in our bodies. So I would, you know, just to add that. As we start trying to protect ourselves and survive, all these other layers start developing around that traumatic event.
Amazing. I'd like to dig into that as well. I've got a medical definition here as well, which is trauma is defined as a tissue injury. So like a literal tissue injury. I just want to touch on this because I think this is part of the kind of history of it, is that occurs more or less suddenly due to violence or an accident. Obviously, we see this in boxers and people who do the kinds of sports where they get multiple head traumas, and is accountable for initiating hypothalamic, pituitary, adrenal axis, and immunological and metabolic responses responsible for restoring homeostasis. So I think that kind of speaks a little bit to what you were just talking about there, in the body. Now, this is not any of our areas of expertise, the medical part, but I think it's worth actually mentioning that part there before we jump over. I know that Mary has something to say later, in maybe in a later episode about blunt force trauma, head traumas, and things like that. So that's really good to know as well. I think that these things kind of something happens, and then in the brain responds in order, as you said, to create layers of protection around us. And then if we put that against the psychological backdrop as well that we've already talked about, it is a distressing event that then adjusts us. Now, there are three main types of trauma, which are acute, chronic, and complex. So I wonder if anybody can speak to those at all. So complex trauma, I understand, is not one event. It's repeating events that then kind of create an almost secret. So it could just be constant criticism or something like that that then hijacks one's nervous system. But acute and chronic, I wonder if anybody can speak to those two before we move on.
Well, so acute and chronic, kind of a way that they've been referred to. It's not a perfect definition. Would be like the big T, little T. So the big T is the acute. So it's the car accident, like you said. It's a short trauma, where you have like little T, which is like the chronic. So it's like the abuse, the neglect. So a lot of people, the one of the issues with that definition is people think big T is a hierarchy of trauma. So
Important.
big T is like, yeah, is more important, but that it's just kind of like a way for us to have similar language when we're discussing it. So it's not the perfect language, and I think that's a lot of it with trauma. And something that I have to tell myself when I'm discussing trauma is I'm not perfect. I'm not going to have the perfect words. I'm not going to have the perfect way to describe everything, but I'm here, I'm listening, I'm holding space for someone, I'm allowing each of us to tell our stories and to participate. So the big T and little T, when I heard that, it was for me, it was something like, okay, I can relate to that, and that helps me to discuss trauma with other people and to understand what people are going through.
My understanding is that terminology comes from the book The Body Keeps the Score, and some people love that book and some people don't. So what I would say is this: anything we say here is an offer, an invitation, and a proposal, and you can take what is good for you and then leave behind what doesn't, or go and do more some more research if you'd like to. Does anybody else want to say anything more about that, Maria? How about in your work that you've been doing about the acute and chronic and the complex?
Oh gosh, that's very important because I just wanted to add like two more like types of trauma that is the
Oh,
collective trauma
please. Oh, yes,
that
of course. Yes, we lived
as
through the
Paula was
tsunami here.
saying, you know,
Yes.
yeah, as Paula was saying in her when he was in, she was introducing herself, the collective trauma is what we both are Colombian and you know like living at that moment in the 90s was something that really impacted us all, you know? And probably we're not very aware of that, but just like living like every single day and having the probability for you to, you know, like having a bomb there or, you know, like whatever kind of violence you can experience there. So that's like the collective trauma, like, or I don't know, in Germany with the Nazis, you know? So is the intergenerational trauma that it goes, you know, like down through their your lineage, what happened in your family. So that's the other two types of trauma that will be nice for, you know, like people used to have like a broad picture of what different types of trauma are. And in my practice, is super interesting because the big T trauma, you know, is when you say, do you feel like you have experienced any traumatic event or do you feel like a traumatized person? And people go directly to, you know, like this big event, you know, like being in a tsunami or, you know, any very high violent event. And so I love that differentiation because it's just like, okay, this is one type of trauma, you know, but as you were saying, the complex PTSD is what most of all we've been through, you know, and this is the repetitive moments and situations, criticism, I don't know, you know, like neglected. You know, we've been all being neglected by our parents, not because they want to. It's just like they didn't know, you know, like when they said to us, like, hold on, I'll be back. And they never come back because they, you know, just like start working on something else. And you were there waiting, you know, it's just like, so I'm not important enough. I'm not worthy, you know, like work is more important for my dad, my mom, than me, you know. So it's been super important, like in my practice, to just like start sharing this information, no? For like people in prison, it's just like, ah, okay, now I understand, you know? And even more like not just the people that live in prison now, but I mean, like people that I just like hang around, you know? It's just like, ah, okay, so probably I have my trauma issues, you know? So, yeah, it's very important because I mean, people normally refer to trauma as this big T. And so I think it's very
Yeah.
important to start, you know, like socializing the small T.
You refer to yourself as a trauma-informed therapist, right?
Facilitator.
Facilitator, thank you. So what does that look like in the room then, like when you're being a trauma-informed facilitator?
It's just like when you have like this information, you know, like you become like a trauma-aware person, you know? It's not that I'm like a specialist of trauma, but I now can feel like how you say in trauma, like you can put on your glasses of trauma, you know, and see the world and people through those lenses, you know? And so then you can understand that, okay, Sarah, Paula, Mary, they're not like they are because, you know, like there's a history. You know, there's a story there. So that's what becoming like a trauma-aware person, like let us relate in a very compassionate way, you know? Because if I understand that you come from a difficult, you know, like background, I can understand why you are, you know, like very jumpy. Or sometimes very angry, or you know, or sad, or depressed, or whatever, you know, or even like very like an outgoing person as well, you know. So that's very important to like becoming a trauma-informed person. It's just like it's not like a super expertise, but it truly helps us to relate in a very different way, you know, like in a very harmonic way. And so, just like in a curious way, like you're open to really try to get to know people, you know, like instead of judging them. So, yeah.
So harmonic, curious, compassionate. Yeah. Beautiful. Paula, how do you kind of, so you've talked, I know you're a meditation teacher and a yoga teacher, and you have this, you know, deep sense of world peace, plus your background in Colombia and so on. Like, how is this working for you when you're kind of, you talk about all these layers? How is this working for you, both kind of personally in your practice and when you're teaching too?
Yeah, so actually it's quite similar. It relates closely to what both Mary and Maria Paula said, you know, in terms of, you know, Ofra has this wonderful book, What Happened to You? So it's the story, it's not who you are, but what happened to you. And that if we can really understand and connect with our own story and with others' story, that necessarily brings compassion and understanding. And in my work, I think that this, as well as intentional listening, are very important tools. Because what I've been coming to discover now is that those are the tools that really help us build real, healthy connections, is when we truly listen to each other and when we hold space. And we understand, and this is why we need to meditate as well, because we understand that. What happens, where the way, for example, other people react sometimes has nothing to do with us, but it's showing, it's a reaction to their own story and their own triggers. But then sometimes we become, as we relate, then we become part of that, and we can either quote unquote play the game or choose to not play the game. But the space for that choice is small. And that moment of choice, in my experience, we can cultivate it through not just meditation, but contemplative practices. For example, like you were saying, Sarah, like if we study our breath carefully, we start noticing that, oh, when somebody says this kind of things, my breath picks up, right? My body's responding. Or my stomach tenses up.
or my throat, right? You start getting in touch with this in yourself, and that for me, it opens a whole exploration, right? Why is it? In which, and then I can go into my story, right? Like, oh, in what other situations does my breath speed up like this? Or in what other situations did I feel my throat blocked like this? And you will find, as you do that self-study, you start finding these core episodes. And some would be, I would say, big T's, and some would be small T's. And so then we start seeing how our organism interprets these dangers in, you know. And so maybe you were just saying a joke because you just want to be friendly, but you use this word that in my story has a meaning, and in my body has a reaction. So what I've found is that it's kind of, you can enter the world of healing either through intellectually looking at your story, or you're looking at these hints from your body, or both. In my case, it's been both. It's a
Same.
work of combining those and starting kind of to map my inner world and my reactions. And then also this allows us to see that in others, right? Like if you're speaking with someone and you can notice that suddenly they froze, or suddenly they stopped breathing, or you can also start noticing this in others, and that will serve as a call to listen to what is there, or even to rewind the conversation and see, oh, maybe I said something that created this, and then we can go into it understanding you know, why I said it and how you take it. And again, we go into these three E's, right? The event, the experience, and the effect. So anyway, that is how I see it in my work. This dynamic relation between understanding our story and the cues that our body provides to deepen into that, and eventually to heal as we start releasing those things and telling our system that, you know, this is a safe space. You don't need to panic right now. You don't need to get nervous right now. This is safe. And as we start doing that training, that to me is also a very important part of the healing process.
Yeah, I love what you said there. Please, anybody feel free to jump in at any time. But I want to kind of jump on the back of that because I was thinking the way that I have kind of learned about trauma the most deeply is through my own felt experience and my own processing of it. And then I can take that out into the world. But what you said there of that point where you say, I'm actually safe here. I'm safe because I think trauma response makes you think you're not safe in places where you are actually safe. And one of the things I thought was really interesting was trauma as an evolutionary survival mechanism. So for me to fully enjoy my life, but also for me to fully understand my clients and my community and my friends, I need to understand that they have a really finely tuned evolutionary nervous system that's kept them safe over all these years. But through the traumas that we've noted and CPTSD, you have a kind of slightly hypervigilance around, hypervigilance is a big word, I think that we should probably just note now, around places where you're not actually in danger. So I may get defensive or feel like I'm being rejected or feel like somebody's like putting me down or something like that in a situation where nothing's happening and I'm entirely safe. So I think what you were saying there, Paula, and I know that you guys had this in the room as well, is I do this kind of thing where I'm like, I'm entirely safe here. And I know I am, and I'm logically telling myself, but my body's like, oh no, fight. Go into fight, have an argument in your head. And this is part of the healing that I need. And I remember being clearly being in my therapy session with one of my therapists, Anna, and describing these events to her and like, because I'm so keen to heal, right? I'm so keen to have a really full life. And she just under her breath went, oh, complex trauma. And I was like, wait, what? What's that? And then she kind of, explained it to me. And Yeah, it's so interesting, and pulling apart those events, like we were talking about, like Colombia or those big events, collective trauma events, which I've been through the earthquake and tsunami here, or a car accident is very simple, you know. So the instant I see a car coming in like that, I'm on full alert. I wasn't before. So that's a very clear example for me about that. And then the CPTSD is like that kind of death by 100 paper cuts, 1,000 paper cuts thing, right? Or like a constant beep, 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 beep. And it's so illuminating to understand all this. Self-compassion's really hard, I find, but I'm really getting much better at it. And then so I always access this through my own experience. And compassion, but it helps me to be way more compassionate to others as well. And even just in our first conversation, just last week, I was with Paola on her part of her job. There's this kind of meditation pod, and in the meditation, you're wearing these goggles, like what do you call them, virtual reality goggles, and a little version of you pops out and sits in front of you, and and then you kind of look at it, and it's saying, "Look at yourself." And then this little version of he's popping around. I was watching myself. I was beside myself, crying so much that the goggles were filling with tears. And I thought, "Oh, this is that, right? This is part of the release, that kind of compassion through the body." And it's a lot. And I do this every day, and I study it, and I have people like you in my, and I'm wealthy and all these kinds of things. So that also kind of helps to trigger the compassion piece as well. Yeah. So I just wanted to share those things as well about I think that's part of trauma there. I can see. Does anybody have anything to add
Yeah,
to
and if
that?
I can just go back to what I was saying, you know, this contemplative practices help us in two ways, right? Like one is you start, it helps you go to back and but also in those moments, you know, because you can tell yourself all you want, I'm safe, I'm safe, but how do we kind of bring that down to the body? And you know, one thing is, and you can do physical things. You can hug yourself. You can allow your breath to go deeper. You know, these kind of things that signal to the body that it is safe. You don't need to force it, but slowly you can invite your organism to go into that safe response. So that is another important role that I found through my work, in this topic. Yeah.
I like
And
the way. understand what's not safe. Oh, sorry, Mary and
No,
Maria.
you're fine. You can go ahead, Maria. I'm sorry. I was just gonna compliment Paula.
No, go ahead, Mary. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that what I like, and to what you were doing as well, is like what you and Paula are doing is what I'm hearing is, you know, trauma essentially changes a person's relationship with themselves. You know yourself, something happens, and then you don't know who you are anymore or how you respond to situations. You know, you're going through a life and something happens, and then all of a sudden you're backed into a corner. You feel as if you're backed into a corner. And I think what's so amazing of like what you're doing in the prison is your and like Paula, and what you're doing in your practice is you're using that hypervigilance that someone experiences, and you're saying, let's turn that inward. Let's take this negative, negative of being hypervigilant, scared something's going to happen. Let's turn that inwards and be hyper aware of ourselves. You know, where are we feeling that? Where is that happening? Or, you know, even just the part of like the self-soothing part. I feel like sometimes if, you know, a traumatic, you know, event happens or, you know, something kind of triggers that, you can't calm down. And to have those things where it's like, I'm going to breathe. I know that I'm safe. I know that I'm safe, even if it's just telling yourself I'm safe, or being able to the practice of verbalizing that in groups or, you know, in different practices, that then you're able to say, hey, this is what's going on with me right now. I need to take space. I need to step aside. So yeah, that's what I want to say is I was just like loving to hear you talk about taking the what's often viewed as the negative of trauma and saying, well, what if we do the what if we apply that to the positive?
And I would like to complement that with, like the importance of being aware of your trauma. Because before you are aware of your trauma, you believe that's your personality, that's who you are. And so, I'm like a very angry person. I'm like a very, whatever you name it. So it's very important for you to be aware of that, like to have some distance from that and say, like, I'm reacting this way because of my trauma, but this is not who I am. So that's very important. And about what you were saying, Sarah, about being compassionate with ourselves, I've seen, like in my work, it's like in terms of trauma and compassion, so it's in trauma, like it's very important for you to be aware of your trauma to understand other people's traumas, But in terms of compassion, and when I was studying compassion, it seems to be easy for you to be compassionate with other people first than with yourself, because you tend to judge yourself or beat up yourself. Because, of your reactions or personality traits, So it's been like very nice how that loop goes, how at the end, it will compenetrate and see like, oh, this is because of my traumas. And so I need to be compassionate with myself, but it takes time. And I think it's very important to, because like in my case, I truly start this like very intellectually, And so it's just like I have, now that I know this, I have to behave this way. Like I have to. Now that I know this, I have to. And so it's, like it takes me time to understand that I have to be patient with all this process, because I've been like this for all, over 40 years, And so it's not easy just like to change your mindset and everything just because you, after reading a book, or after going to one session of therapy, it takes time. It takes time. So I think it's very important to be just like patient with yourself.
Yeah, and if I can add something to that, it's also, one thing that I've discovered through my work is that, before I was just reacting to external demands, to myself, to the environment, to the triggers, whatever you want, And I can't say that I'm fully there, but this work has given me a little bit more of a sense of choice. Of, for example, I know that certain things trigger me, and when they happen, I can say, okay, now I have a choice. Do I know, okay, I know that this person is reacting in this way because, for example, they're stressed. Okay, so I have a choice. I can be compassionate, or do I hold my ground and I say, okay, this is crossing the boundary of what's acceptable to Paula, and I need to practice being strong and holding a boundary. Do I have a conversation? Do I take space and time, right? So even this possibility of having a moment to decide what would be good for me right now. Based on all what I know and the tools I have, I feel that this is something that has also grown with time. And to also understand the other, that when somebody reacts to my actions or around me, that space of choice for them is also very probably very short, So to allow each other also some grace and some understanding, right? That has been valuable. And to be also, it feels like this whole process is really helping me be in touch with what it means to be human. It seems to me that All of us have some sort of traumatic event that has happened to us. So by learning about these things, it has given me a way to just foster deeper connections, and to really go beyond the small talk into what is it that matters to you and why does it matter? And this, all of this, in my view, it's related with this survival responses and how we build and design our life around those core episodes. Sometimes we
That's
want to
cool.
affirm something, you know, sometimes we say, okay, this was wonderful. For example, my parents are very understanding people. So I went like, okay, you know, so we affirm something. Or sometimes you have the opposite, right? Like, oh, this person is very short-tempered, and I will do everything in my power to not be that kind of relative, for example, or that kind of coworker. So we are also responding either by affirmation or by denying. So this too is part of all
Yeah.
that landscape. Yeah.
I love that, that kind of compassionate response to people, and also no thanks. we don't have, and you mentioned survival there. like that's how I feel about it anyway. It's like you mentioned survival there, and I think that once we understand our trauma, and once we understand how we'll call it hypervigilance, and once we understand that we may be reading safe people as unsafe and unsafe people as safe, and it's just all this big kind of strange, cloudy place, and then we start heaping on compassion and grace and looking after ourselves and understanding it, then we're actually using our survival techniques in the kind of quote unquote right way. Oh, I see. You're reacting to me out of your place of trauma, and that's okay, but also here's where I'm going to meet you here. Either go in and talk about it, or I'm just going to leave it here. On a very small scale, a friend had a quite defensive reaction to something I posted yesterday, and I could go in, or I could say, "Oh yeah, I see," and then more came, and I was like, "Oh yeah, this obviously means a lot to you, And so I see it. Oh, something's happened here. I'm going here. This far, not that far. Do you know what I mean? Whereas before I might have gone in and had a big like repair job and stuff like that, but I'm still, and in the end we had a good laugh, So it's a really interesting to listen to this. Something else that somebody said was, I think Maria Paula said, it's that idea that this is not mine. What's happening here is it's not, this is not, oh. When you learn about trauma yourself, it's like, oh, this is not mine. This doesn't belong to me. It's my reaction and it's taken on from me. And that's where the self-compassion comes in, I think. Or I always try to tease things apart with clients as well. Like, what's yours and what isn't yours? What's real and what isn't real? Let's pull it all apart. It's all real, but what are we going to work with here? And then from a systems coaching perspective, and this just penny just dropped for me as we were talking is if compassion is present, then all of us own it. So if I'm putting compassion out, then the system owns it. But if I'm putting compassion in, the system also owns that. So it's more. So it's actually a systemic thing for me to, for one, anybody to put compassion in on themselves as well as back in. It's just more systemic compassion then, I think. This is something that's just popped out for me now. Anything final before we close this particular session out? This is our introduction to trauma today. Thank
Just to
you, everybody.
piggyback on that comment,
Oh,
just to piggyback
please.
on your comment, you know,
Yeah.
Maria Paula has said this to me a few times, but this idea that hurt people hurt, you know, and James Gilligan also, who's an expert in violence and this, and he talks about this, right? So I think it also goes the other way with what you just said, Sarah, that healed people can help others heal. So when we put some of this into the system, that is, we all own it. And so either we can put our hurt forward or we can put our efforts to heal forward, and the system will own either one.
Gorgeous. Paula, I'd love to invite you to do a kind of compassionate close for this session. Something, some breathing or something meditative, just a very short thing to close this session out.
Sure.
Are you?
So maybe let's just begin. Take a good posture. Feel your feet grounded in the floor, in the ground. And first, just notice where you are. Check your breathing. Is it deep, shallow? Where is it coming from? And as you allow yourself to take three conscious breaths at your own pace, say inwardly, I am safe.
Paula, thank you for that close. And I want feel called to put some compassion into the system for the people who aren't safe today or tonight as well. Well, thank you everybody for listening or watching. This was episode one of the Tokyo Trauma Talks. What even is trauma and understanding the landscape of trauma and understanding some approaches to it. We talked about five different types of trauma and the three E's of an event, the experience, and the effect. We hope you're able to join us for part two. Thank you very much, team, and we'll see you in part two.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank you.
you.